So if you turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 19 this afternoon. The book of Psalms in the Old Testament, Psalm 19, and we'll read the entire Psalm. That's Psalm 19, reading from verse 1 to the end of verse 14, the end of the Psalm. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Pray that God would add his blessing to that reading of his own word. Well, we come this afternoon to the subject of revelation. There is, as I indicated on Sunday evening and have done so in the past, there is a serious indifference to doctrine in the church. And that disinterest, of course, is reflected in the rejection, by and large, of good Christian reading. Any Christian reading that's done seems to be superficial, and, well, much of it, well, you wouldn't even care to line your dustbin with. Or it tends to the practical, that is, the how-to variety. How to conduct a prayer meeting, or how to become this or become that. It's all practical, it's all how-to. Doctrine, of course, is thought to be a men-only thing, or to be too deep for womankind. Well, that's utter stuff and nonsense, because women have minds just the same as men, and they're able to think out the things of God as any other renewed person, Christian person. But if the church is to be rescued from its present condition of superficiality, if the decline is to be stopped, if all the troubles that the church faces in our land in these days, then there must needs be, first and foremost, reformation. And that must begin in our own minds before the Word of God. That must begin in our worship services, in every aspect of our Christian lives and beings. That's exactly what happened at the time of the Reformation, where the church was steeped in Roman Catholicism, everything ordered, all the thinking was done by the papacy. But then the Word of God came into the ascendancy, and men and women began to think for themselves instead of having the Pope to do their thinking for them. Men and women got access to the Word of God, to the Bible for themselves. They were able to read it. They were able to think about it, apply their minds to it. And as they did so, their lives began to change as they applied the Word of God to the various parts of their lives. It was the resurgence of Christian doctrine. But without there's an interest in doctrine, a return to it, a change of the present mindset within the church, then there is no hope of arresting the decline, there is no hope of renewal, and there is no hope of Christian revival in this land or anywhere else. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17, all scripture, that's the entirety of it from beginning to end, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that is for teaching, for reproof, that is for rebuking, for correction, that is to correct us where we are wrong, for instructing, that is teaching in the way of God's righteousness. Why? That the man or woman of God may be perfect, that is, brought to maturity, thoroughly furnished, decked out. You know how you furnish a room, surely. You have an empty room, and you have an idea of how you want it to be furnished. So you bring in the chairs, you bring in the sofa, you hang the pictures and the paintings, and you get it completely furnished to your liking, and then you sit down, you relax, and you enjoy the room. Well, the scriptures are given, Paul says, that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly furnished, decked out with everything unto all good works. That is, equipped for everything that God has him or her to do. And then the advice, of course, of the Lord Jesus, John chapter 5, verse 39, applies to all, to womankind and mankind. Search the scriptures. So that's what we're going to do beginning today. And we begin at the beginning with the subject of revelation, the Christian doctrine of revelation. Again, the Apostle Paul, he says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. The wonder of revelation. The fact that God does reveal himself is a wonder, is a miracle. God is sufficient of in and of himself. He doesn't need you, he doesn't need me, he doesn't need anyone, and he doesn't need anything outside of himself. He doesn't need the sky, he doesn't need the planets, he doesn't need the earth, he doesn't need anything at all outside of himself. Yet he has chosen to reveal himself through the works of his own hands. That's what revelation means. It's God revealing himself and how he does it. We are only creatures. We are less than dust. He is infinite and eternal. He cannot be comprehended, the Apostle Paul says. In 1 Timothy 6:16, he says, speaking of God, of course, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honour and power everlasting. Amen. So God is pure spirit, he is invisible, he cannot be seen, and that brings us of course, to the point of marvelling at the realization of God's miraculous revelation of himself. That he speaks in human language and in the way that even the simplest can understand becomes even more astonishing when we realize that he reveals himself not just to human beings but to sinful human beings, people such as we here this afternoon. Men and women, that is, who have closed their minds and their hearts to him. Not just a miracle of revelation, but a miracle of grace. When we realize that the ultimate purpose of his revelation is the salvation of his own chosen people. It brings out the fact that, God has different ways of revealing himself to us. In our confession of faith, we read in chapter 1, verse 1, although the light of nature and the works of creation and providence do so far manifest, that is, reveal the goodness, wisdom and power of God, as to leave men inexcusable, yet are they not sufficient to give that knowledge of God and of his will which is necessary unto salvation. You see, they're saying there, you can look at the creation, you can examine God's ways and providence, that is, his dealings with us, in our daily lives, the things that happen to us, circumstances in the world, you can see all these things, and you can know that God exists, but they are not sufficient to bring us to salvation. Something else is needed for that. No one ever, by examining creation, came to know God or to know his salvation, and no one, as a result of God's providence, ever came to know the God of salvation. Creation and Scripture both are necessary. In the past, God spoke to men and women through dreams, through visions, through prophecies, through a whole variety, the Bible tells us, a whole variety of means. But now, in these last days, that has ceased, and God speaks to men and women through the Scriptures, through the Bible, and through the Bible alone. Just as a work of art, just as the design of the world reveals the artist and the designer. You see a painting, perhaps, and you recognize it. You say, oh, I know who the artist of that was. That was Constable. It was Constable who painted that. It reveals the work itself. The work of art reveals the artist. And so when you look at the world, you look at the universe, you stand back, you might not know God, you might not know him intimately, but you stand back and you say, wow, who was the artist, who was the designer, who was the one that brought all this into being? Creation, the works of God's creation, reveal that there is a creator, a designer behind it. But sinful man has corrupted that revelation. And now, Paul says, in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Now, man has become blinded to the reality of God's revelation, to God himself, and even to his own self, man himself. He has become a veritable idolater and God-hater. So, the first, there are two kinds of revelation, means by which God has revealed himself. And the first one is the work of general revelation, that is, God's created order. He says again in Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, and being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God says that in general terms, the creation, God has revealed himself in that creative order, and that therefore because of this, men are without excuse. But the general revelation, that is God's creation, his creative order, is distinct from his special and saving revelation in the Scriptures, in the Bible. the example here of Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 that we've just read. God says that he makes himself known through the things that he has made. But also in them, that is the people, men and women, in their consciences. Romans chapter 1, 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. God has revealed himself in man's conscience, so therefore there is really, truly, no such thing as an atheist. They all know that God is. This revelation does not have the power to save God's creation, that is, nor is there even grace in it. Rather, as Paul makes clear here in Romans chapter 1, God's creation is a revelation of his wrath against mankind who denies him. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold, that is, who suppress, who hold down the truth in unrighteousness. They unrighteously deny the existence of God, call themselves atheists, say that God is not, that there is no such thing as a God. But, says God, that creation stands in judgment against such people, leaving them without any excuse whatsoever. So, creation does not provide another way of salvation. It is said by some that a moral response to the general revelation of God, his creation, through this, that a person, a man or woman, could be saved. That is not so. That is just another term, another way of expressing salvation by works. No man or woman is ever saved by works, by religious humanism. Paul makes it very clear here in Romans chapter 1 that there is no such thing as an atheist. God has revealed himself in creation in all the things that he has made, even man himself. Even the wicked who have never heard the gospel, they will be condemned in the last day of judgment as a result of this general revelation, God's creation. Because they have refused to glorify God, they have continued to be unthankful, and they have changed the true and living God, exchanged him for nothing less than idolatry, turning from the true and living God, whom they know only too well, but now they do not like him, and they do not like to acknowledge him. Instead of seeking him as they should, they suppress, they hold down the truth in unrighteousness, and all their philosophies, their ideas, thinking about the world and eternity and the world to come, and all their religious systems are not the beginning of, or even a love or a searching for the truth, but a rejection of the truth that God has revealed in his general revelation. It's a turning from that truth to lies and deceitfulness. Salvation can come only through the preaching of the gospel. Beloved, it's important that we learn these things, because the better and the more that you learn Christian doctrine, the more and the better you will be able to witness to other people and to explain the way of salvation to them and hopefully lead them to Jesus Christ. This is not, believe me, this is not just an academic exercise. It is so important that we learn and that we are clear in our own minds about these things. Salvation can come only through the preaching of the gospel, not through God's general revelation, not through the created order. We must, really must be clear about this. Listen to what Paul says again. Romans chapter 1, 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Romans 10:14, he says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Only through the preaching of the gospel can a person be saved. Only there in the gospel is Christ revealed to them as the very power, the wisdom, and the salvation of God. So, general revelation, all the things that God has created with all its wonderful design and artwork, it serves only to increase the guilt of a human race that has fallen and turned its back on God. Those who do not hear and believe the gospel stand under the condemnation of God's general revelation. Teaching otherwise, those who teach other, those who say that people can be saved as a means of God's, by the means of God's creation and his providence, they deny the blood of Christ, his perfect obedience. It's a slander to him and to his cross. So, the work of general revelation, God's creation, all the things that he has made in his providence, that is God's general revelation. But there's another means by which God has chosen to reveal himself, and that is through and by the word of God. That we call God's special revelation. God ultimately reveals himself as a saviour. You can't find that out through gazing at the wonders of God's creation. He reveals himself as a saviour and as a father, but only in the word of God. Speech is the main means by which he communicates himself to us, just as you and I do. How do you come to know me? How do I come to know you? By our conversing, by our speaking to one another. Well, we are created in his image, and that's why we communicate with words in the same way as our Creator communicates with us. Now, it's a miracle. Again, it's a miracle that God speaks to man. It's a miracle that God speaks of himself, his infiniteness, his greatness, yet he speaks to us in a way that we can understand. As John Calvin puts it, he lisps. You know how if you're talking to a little child, maybe say 2 or 3 years of age, well, you wouldn't speak the way that I'm speaking to you here this afternoon. What you would do is you would kneel down and you would speak to them in a childlike fashion in order for them to understand. What you would do is you would condescend to the child. Well, God, in all his infinite greatness, majesty and power, in his word, has done exactly that to us. He's knelt down, he's condescended to speak to us in what you might say is limited and imperfect speech, in order for us to understand. It is God, through that through his word, it is God whom we come to know and with whom we have fellowship with in our Bibles, in the word of God. More wonderful, it's not just a means of communication, it's not just God speaking to us, but it's the means by which we have fellowship with God. The word of God, the Bible, the scriptures, Old and New Testaments, all 66 books, God comes to us in those words. In those propositions, he comes to us and he fellowships with us. We come to know him, what he's like, and we come to love him because of his great character, his mercy, his love and compassion that's conveyed to us in and through his word. As man knows and loves the voice of his wife above all others, so we really do know and love God by the hearing of his voice. if I was to turn my back on you and the three of you were to converse together, I could pick out my wife's voice. I know it, I hear it, I understand it. Ah, that's my wife speaking to me. Or rather, that's my wife's voice. I hear her speaking because I know her voice. Well, when we pick up our Bibles, when we hear the language of Scripture, when we hear someone call it out, the minister preaching it by whatever means, when we hear our Bibles, when we hear the Word of God, we know, we say, ah, that's my Father's voice. That's my Savior's voice. I recognize it. It's the voice of Scripture, and the voice of Scripture is the voice of God. Song of Solomon in chapter 2 verse 14. O my dove, that art in the cleft of the rocks, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice and thy countenance is comely. Where do you see him? Where do you hear God? In the Scriptures, in the Word of God, and there alone. Not only sounds, it's not just the marks on a page of a book, but it's the living and the abiding Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Word of God, not only heard and read, but it takes, we don't just hear and read it, but it takes on a visible form, it becomes a tangible revelation of the living and the unseen God, the one whom we cannot see. 1 John chapter 1 verse 1, John the Apostle, he says, that which was from the beginning, speaking of Jesus of course, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. Well, this is the Word of life, the inscripturated Word of life, the living and abiding Word of God, and he takes on a tangible revelation of the living, unseen God, the God who is pure spirit, whom we cannot see, though God is forever unseeable. He is seen by us in the person of his Son, the Word made flesh. Another reason why this is a great and astonishing miracle, it's an act of the greatest condescension and mercy of God, that he should speak to us. Since we're fallen into sin, it would be more fitting, would it not, for God to forsake us, to abandon us, but yet he speaks to us, and he speaks to us in peace through his word, as a Father and as a Savior. But that's the only means by which his mercy, it is possible for it to become known. As a result of the connection between the Word made flesh, that's Jesus, and of course the Word written, the Word read, or the Word of God preached, the one, you see, reveals the other. The living Word, that is Christ himself, is made known to us through the written word, and the written word is understood only through him, through, that is, a reception of him. The errors, of course, need to be avoided on both sides. We need to avoid talking about knowing and believing Christ apart from the Scriptures, because no one ever came to know Jesus Christ apart from the Scriptures. And no one does today. They talk about dreams, they talk about visions, they talk about prophecy. Beloved, all that has ceased. It is finished. It is in the past. God speaks, and speaks alone through his written word now. So no one comes to know Christ apart from the Scriptures unless a person comes in contact with God's Word through some part of their miserable course in this world. They will never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ or salvation by any other means. you'll hear people talking about all kinds of mystical experiences, how they had visions and dreams, but they never came to know the Christ of the Bible without the Bible of Christ. So, no one can have fellowship with, and no one can hear him, and no one can see him apart from the scriptures, from the Word of God. On the other hand, to read the scriptures and not to find Christ in them, John chapter 5 verse 39, Jesus says to the Jews, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and there are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life." He says, life is in me, it's to be found in me, and the scriptures, they speak of me, and they speak of eternal life in me. Therefore he says, search the scriptures, because that's the place to find him. But of course they weren't willing to do that, in order that they might have life. To read the scriptures and not find Christ in them is to read them without understanding, and to read them in vain. So, these scriptures are never to be doubted or to be forgotten. They're given to us in written form. It's God's special revelation, his saving revelation, over against the general, over against the creation revelation, given to us in written form and preserved in that form. God has preserved the written scriptures from the earliest of times, even from the days of Moses. These scriptures have been preciously preserved and kept by our God intact, so that we can say of them, from beginning to end, this is the infallible, inscripturated, the written Word of God. Faultless, utterly faultless. And every time you hear a word from this book, it is the word, it is the voice of God speaking to you. The only means, beloved, I can't emphasize that too much. The only means by which you will ever hear the voice of God, the only means by which God speaks to men and women and women in these days, it is by these scriptures alone that God is pleased to make himself known in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, John chapter 5 verse 39, the scriptures, the words of the Lord Jesus himself. To deny what I say, to argue against what I say, is to argue against the Lord Jesus himself. John 5:39, the scriptures, they are they which testify of me. You cannot find Christ apart from the scriptures today. Therefore, again the Apostle Paul, he says to us, by way of application, Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1, therefore, because of these things, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Love, covet the scriptures, read and study them, because therein is much profit for our souls. Food, the very voice of our God speaking to us, encouraging and enabling us to walk in his ways. Amen.